Any of you remember the Far Side comics by Gary Larson? Now, some of my favorites. Maybe my favorite of all time is one in which you see a teacher in a classroom who has evidently been going for a while. And all of a sudden, in the middle of a class, one of the little guys raises his hand and says, "Mr. Jones, may I be excused? My brain is full." And when I think about Jesus' last night with his disciples, he had so much to say to them. And I expect that partway through they were like, "Jesus, may we be excused? My brain is full." We're coming in to the last conversation Jesus is having with his disciples. It's in John chapter 15, verse 26, which is on page 984 in your pew Bibles, if you'd like to read along. In it, Jesus talks about what is coming. Not about his dying, although that is something that's on his mind, obviously, but really more about what is coming after him when he dies. What comes next? So we're going to start in verse 26 of chapter 15. Listen for what God has to say to you today. "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning." Now, I know that Barry Szymanski would often be here. He could tell you more about the legal terms here than I can. But do you hear the courtroom language about testifying and the advocate? An advocate is a lawyer, right? You're a counselor in legal matters. Well, you'll notice that it's capitalized here. It means it's the Holy Spirit in mind here. And it could be translated also as the comforter. The one who is on your side in the heavenly courts. So we're going to skip a few verses here to verse 4b. The work of the Spirit. "I did not say these things to you from the beginning," Jesus continues, "because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. And yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." This is the "Mr. Jesus, my brain is full" part. "You cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. And for this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." And then he concludes, "A little while, and you will no longer see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me. May God bless this reading of His Word to the growing of our hearts in Him. Amen. I have to say, it's great to sit with the choir again. It's been many years since I sat with you. I was sitting over in the bass section with Lee. Boy, thank you for helping me learn parts. You know, I enjoy reading music. That was all good. Nothing is ever wasted. I should also say I have company here today. My daughter Hannah is here. I guess I owe you a buck because I'm standing in the pulpit introducing you. But the deal is, if I use my kids in an illustration from the pulpit, I owe them a buck. I'm glad you're with me. I am often asked, what is different about someone who knows Jesus? It's a question maybe we ought to ask ourselves. One of the major differences in my experience is that people who give their hearts to Jesus and try to live their lives in His love is that they have a sense of someone on their side. Someone who will never go away. According to Jesus, in our passage today, that sense comes from the Spirit of truth that guides us into all truth. But what is truth? Jesus and His disciples understood truth in different ways. The Greeks had one way of looking at truth, and the Hebrews had another. And I'd like to tell you a story that kind of will open your eyes, I think, to both of these. Once there was a man driving home one evening on a two-lane country road. Work in this small Midwestern community was almost as slow as his beat-up Pontiac. But he never quit looking. It was a lonely road he was on. Not very many people had a reason to be on it unless they were leaving. And of course, most of his friends had left already. But he stayed on. He was born here. And he knew the country. It was starting to get dark, and light snow flurries were coming down. He almost didn't see the old lady stranded on the side of the road. But even in the dim light of day, he could see she needed help. So he pulled up in front of her Mercedes and got out. Even with the smile on his face, she was worried. No one had stopped, even gone by for the last hour or so. He didn't really look safe. What he looked like was poor and hungry. He could see that she was frightened standing out there in the cold, and he could imagine how that might feel. So he said, I'm here to help you, ma'am. Why don't you wait in the car where it's warm? And by the way, my name is Joe. Well, all she had was a flat tire, but for her that was bad enough. Joe crawled under the car looking for a place to put the jack and skinned his knuckles up. By the time he was done changing the tire, he was filthy. And his hands were hurting. As he tightened up the last lug nuts, she rolled down her window and told him she was on her way to St. Louis. She couldn't thank him enough for coming to her aid. And Joe just smiled as he closed the trunk. She asked him how much she owed him. Any amount would have been fine for her. She had already imagined all the awful things that could have happened if he hadn't stopped. And Joe never thought twice about the money. This was not a job to him. This was helping someone who needed it. And he knew there were plenty who had given him a hand in the past. He had lived his whole life that way. And it never occurred to him to act any other way now. "Listen," he said, "if you really want to pay me back, why don't you give the next person who needs it all the help that they need and think of me?" He waited until she started her car and drove off. It had been a cold and depressing day for him, but, you know, he felt pretty good as he was heading home, disappearing into the twilight. A few miles down the road, the lady saw a small, dingy cafe. And she decided to drop in and grab a bite to eat, to take the chill off before heading for home. The waitress came over and brought a clean towel for her to wipe her wet hair. The waitress had a sweet smile, one that even being on her feet for the whole day couldn't erase. The lady noticed that the waitress was nearly 8 months pregnant. We do notice things like that, don't we? And still, this waitress never showed the strain or the aches, never allowed them to change her attitude. The old lady wondered how someone who obviously had so little could be so giving to a stranger. Ah, and that's what reminded her about Joe. After the lady finished her meal and the waitress went to get her change from a $100 bill, the lady slipped out before the waitress could get back. The lady was gone, and the waitress wondered where she could be. And then she noticed something written on the napkin. With tears in her eyes, the waitress read what the lady wrote. It said, "You don't owe me a thing. I have been there too. Someone once helped me out the way I'm helping you. If you really want to pay me back, here's what you do. Don't let the chain of love end with you." Our lives are full of times to bless and to be blessed. This story shows us both kinds of truth that Jesus has in mind here. The Greeks would have heard the word truth and thought about knowing what is right, how to make sense of the world, and how to do things. In our story, Joe knows the truth about changing tires, about using a jack and tightening lug nuts. And the Spirit opens his eyes to see the woman in need, reminds him of the truth, that the right thing to do is to stop and help her. The old lady knows the truth. She knows how to drive, how to get home, that all sorts of things could have happened to her on that road, and that good is worth passing on. The waitress knows the truth, how to serve someone, to make coffee, and that her budget's really tight at home. All these are truths that we learn, and we learn to do better. The Spirit is at work in us too, to help us remember what we have learned, to see the opportunities to bless others, and to do them well. If we don't know how to do something, that's one of the things you were reading about in the Romans passage. The Spirit comes and helps us know what to do and how to do it. We can ask for guidance. And do it the way God wants it done. So the second kind of truth is what the Hebrews, the Jews, would have heard as they heard the word truth. That truth is something you can count on. like getting warm when the sun shines, like falling when you jump out of a tree, like people hurting when a bomb goes off, like good news of a pastor coming. Brings a smile. Jesus is somebody we can count on. That one person who will never leave us, no matter what. No matter how our lives get torn up, or how messed up we feel, or how we are put back together again. Truth is based on steadfast and faithful relationship. In our story, Joe and the lady both know the truth that trusting each other and being blessings to each other are the only decent ways to live. For those who follow Christ, we are helped to see what is real and lasting, founding our lives on the love of God in Jesus, shown for us by dying on a cross. We can trust that wherever we walk, Jesus walks with us. That when we live in the way of Christ, love will be shown. And by its light, change the world around us. The Spirit is at work in us to show us where that way is, and when we step from it, and to help us trust God with more and more of ourselves. Well, so you remember that waitress in our story? Well, she wasn't done for the night. There were still tables to clear, sugar bowls to fill, people to serve. But she made it through another day. And that night when she got home from work and climbed into bed, she was thinking about that God sent money and what the lady had written. How could she have known how much she and her husband needed it? What the baby do next month? It was just really going to be hard. She knew how worried her husband was, and as he lay sleeping next to her, she gave him a soft kiss, whispered, soft and low, "Everything's going to be all right. I love you, Joe." Today is Pentecost. Day we celebrate the birthday of the church, the Spirit coming and starting us all off. It is a day when we remember, as Memorial Day, those who offered up their lives for our freedom. We are reminded in both those cases that the way forward is sometimes down lonely roads and into dark places with challenging, exciting, even sometimes dangerous times. And every step down that road, Jesus walks with us, and the Spirit will guide us in keeping the chain of love alive. The best kept secret of following Jesus Christ is that Jesus is not all we have. That we have this other sense, this other defender and comforter who guides and empowers us to become more than we imagined. By God's grace and truth, everything is going to be better than all right. Happy birthday, church.